Hello, everyone. Welcome to the First Love Club. Thanks so much for joining us this week. We hope that you will be inspired, encouraged, and blessed by something that we have to say. We really want God to speak to you through this show, and we've prayed and asked Him just to let us be an instrument and share something with you today that He has laid on our heart. So, Corey, why don't you tell everybody what we're going to talk about?
Well, last week's conversation about being a God pleaser really, it actually inspired me, and it really got me thinking about the ways in which that we can please God, and the reasons why we don't necessarily please God. Sometimes I think our fear of man and what other people think of us is sometimes a little bit more powerful than what God thinks of us, and you know, it's a hard truth to face, but the fact is it happens in so many small and big ways throughout our day, our week, our month, that I really feel like I feel like we should explore that, talk a little bit more about that.
Sounds good.
And while we were talking last week, I actually thought of a book that I had downloaded quite a while ago that really, the whole theme is really about that. The title of the book is When People Are Big and God Is Small.
That title is powerful.
Right? It's by Edward T. Welch. And I went back and I kind of, you know, went through it and saw my little highlighted notes and everything. And I've picked out a few things that I wanted to share because I really think that just by sharing this, I think it's really going to resonate for people. It certainly did for me when I read it, which is why I thought of it when we started talking about, you know, being a God pleaser. So in the book, the author is presenting the three basic reasons why we fear other people. We fear people because they can expose and humiliate us. We fear people because they can reject, ridicule, or despise us. And we fear people because they can attack, oppress, or threaten us. These three reasons have one thing in common. They see people as bigger, that is, more powerful and significant than God. And out of the fear that creates in us, we give other people the power and right to tell us what to feel, think, and do.
Wow. Wow.
I love how expressive you are.
They can't see my face.
I know. You're making all these faces as I read. It's great.
I'm thinking that through, like, am I doing that? You know?
Yeah. So when I was reading that, I wanted to share something that I think might resonate for a lot of people listening. I think in a lot of ways, there are events in our lives sometimes that kind of shape us, that make our feelings about how other people perceive us and that fear of them become much more powerful. So, for instance, in my case, I was that kid that other kids picked on. You know, I third, fourth, and fifth grade were just so not, they weren't my best years, and they were very formative years. So, I mean, I had kids throwing rocks at me, calling me names, just, you know, kind of confronting me on the playground a lot, setting me up to be humiliated a lot. And so it was really torturous for me. Being an introverted kid, I played alone a lot. I have many memories of being alone on the playground. And so I allowed those things that they said to me, allowed the way that they treated me, that began to really make me see myself through their eyes.
It was your inner dialogue.
Yeah. What they said about me became what I believed. Mm. And that's just a really common thing kids that, you know, get teased that way, is it begins to kind of really narrow your focus on how you look at yourself. And then, you know, as you get older, it's almost like, as even as an adult, I still feel like that third grader sometimes when I come into a room, I'm still kind of expecting people to, kind of shrink away from me, you know, kind of like the way kids treated me then. And it's really weird. I mean, I'm a grown woman. I know better.
But I bet we would be surprised by how many of our listeners feel this, have felt this.
Absolutely. And that's why I bring it up, because I know there's many of you sitting here nodding, whether or not you were teased or tortured at that level or worse.
Right.
At some level, how other kids you know, treated you or reacted to you or interacted with you, it really forms some of the way that you think about yourself. So my daughter, when she was going through elementary school, she wasn't like that at all. She didn't let what other kids ever said about her or to her affect her that way. She was just much more confident in who she was.
She was stronger.
She let them have it right back. I mean, she was nothing like me. So it was very interesting to see, you know, to know how I had been and watch this other little girl, you know, kind of just be so different and not be afraid of people. So I've always been more of, you know, fearful of people in terms of what they think of me. And introverts, in my opinion, introverts kind of have it worse because we are so withdrawn, so within ourselves, that we can conjure up entire stories in our head about what someone is thinking of us and when they look at us, what they're thinking. We are just super sensitive people that way. And because we're not, you know, more outwardly driven, we have very rich imaginations.
You're internalizing it.
Totally. And so it becomes a problem throughout your life. And because I became a Christian more later in life, I feel like I dragged a lot of that baggage into being a new man, you know, like a new person in Christ, you know, trying to understand how God sees me, how God created me, all of these, you know, all of the fact that I am an introvert, the fact that I was a sensitive kid, those are things that God designed in me.
So do you think that introverts care more about being a people pleaser?
You know, I can't say that.
Okay.
I think extroverts probably deal with that too.
Everybody, really, at some level wants to be a people pleaser, don't we?
My perception of extroverts, because they are so more social, they probably have a tendency of being very much, yes, I'll do that. Yes, yeah. I'll do this. Yes, I want
to. I think it's both. I think we all want to be a people pleaser to some level.
Yeah, I don't think I have that problem as much because I don't join in things at all, really, to, you know.
Oh, maybe.
Not saying that's, you know, a good thing. I'm just saying.
Oh, so you're saying maybe extroverts are more of a people pleaser
I think
than
they're
introverts.
More.
Okay.
That's just my opinion, and I'm not.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, opinion, yeah.
Don't you think?
I can see what you're saying. You're much more extroverted. Yeah.
You just have more opportunity. You know more people. You're more interactive with people in your life. So you have more opportunity to be committing to things and in an effort to what?
Yeah, I do think extroverts probably do. The more I've never thought that through before till this moment, but you're right. I think extroverts, I could see them being more of wanting to please people because you're on a high, your likability factor means a lot to you.
Sure.
And you're putting yourself out there and then you want to get in response that you've done well. And so, yeah, now me personally, I've gotten over that a long time ago.
You're like, I'm over that.
Yeah, but I can think back to when I wanted to be a people pleaser and I needed to be liked because that was a big part of who I was because, you know, I'm like, want to be the life of the party.
Mm-hmm. So as an introvert, my incentive was not that people would like me, but that they wouldn't consider me weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I just would avoid social interaction and going to like after work parties or, you know, parties in general, social gatherings. I would avoid it because the thought that people were perceiving me as being strange or awkward, because that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. I would just assume that they could see it all over me. So I would just avoid those situations altogether. And I noticed as a grown-up, when I become friends, which, you know, introverts don't tend to have a lot of friends. We're very much about, you know, small, close, very intimate relationships with people. So we're very limited. But when we become friends with people, I think that one thing I've learned is just to be honest about it. Look, you know, I'm just not going to want to do a lot of socializing. I'm not going to. It's not a personal thing. It's simply, I'm an introvert.
Mm-hmm. It's like, right. You have an excuse.
Have grace on me, please.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not weird. I'm just an introvert.
There
so,
you
right?
You should have a t-shirt that says that. You know what's so funny, though, is when we have these conversations, we really find out that people are so much alike. Because I do think at some level, everyone thinks to themselves, you're weird. You know,
I'm guessing. Yeah. Some people that aren't born with this incredible self-confidence.
Exactly. So even when you're confident, you do. You have that thing where you're thinking, I'm so different from everybody else. I still kind of think that about myself, but I'm okay. I like me, you know? So I think it's great when we find out we're so much alike as human beings and as God's children. He wants us to know that He sees us all. He loves us all, no matter how we are.
True. And, you know, the fact that he is our creator, you know, there's a, we have similarity probably because we're made in his image,
right,
first and foremost. But when I think back to, you know, how all that treatment sort of shaped me, I realize that the perception of people having of you, like, that becomes such a big theme in your mind, mm-hmm, you know, and being worried about what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that was probably one of my greatest, biggest problems throughout my, you know, growing up, is that I was always so concerned what other people think. Now, we all do that, say, like, in high school. That's probably the most intensified, mm-hmm, you know, time in our lives where that happens. Which is why most of us succumb to things like peer pressure.
Right.
Why that's so powerful. But then, as you know, you get older, you're supposed to mature out of that, mm-hmm, out of that. But some of us don't. Some of us still very much, you know, that's part of how we process and think about is, what does she think about me? Oh, my, mm-hmm, gosh, did I just say that? What are they thinking about me now?
Mm-hmm. You know, and they're probably thinking about themselves.
I know. That's the funniest thing, yeah, that you don't realize. That. I mean, that took me a very long time. I was 37 years old when this whole I'm an introvert thing even, like, came across, like, truly understanding what that even
this
meant.
This is why I am the way I am.
Yeah.
I'm an introvert. Yeah.
And I bring it up so much, you know, even here in our, you know, our faith-based podcast, I bring it up here because it was such a huge revelation to me, and it's something, it's almost like a gospel to me that I, yeah, want to continue.
It's part of your truth.
To talk about, because God designed introverts for a reason, just like he designed extroverts for a reason. And I do think that there is something to that and why we're wired the way we are. And then instead of it being, you know, people perceiving that as something unique or odd to themselves, it's actually, you know, the introverts, if you manage to get us all together.
Exactly.
Which
that
would
is
be
hard.
Highly unlikely. But if you manage to get us all together and have, like, a little quiz, I think you'd find that there would be so many similarities in how we, you know, and how we perceive things. So, and that would be, I often think about that, how introverts, you know, by our very natures, it's one thing I wish that I could be like, okay, introverts, my friends, you know, let's gather together. And, but it's hard to do that because none of us.
If you invited them all to a party, they'd be too scared to come.
Right?
Exactly.
We wouldn't have enough room against the walls for everybody.
And see, you can say all that because you are one.
Yes.
But if I said that, it would be a
be so rude.
Exactly. You're so right. And, you know, we know from experience that people really, that does resonate with them, because you have said a lot about this and people have given you feedback. They're listening. They're going, me too.
Me
you
too.
Know?
Me
yeah.
too. Absolutely.
Well, you know, Corey, you read those three reasons that we let other people affect what we're thinking and saying and doing. How can we not be that way and give other people the power and allow them to affect us that way?
Well, there's actually a really, really powerful scripture in the Bible that, mm-hmm, and the reason why I downloaded that book in the first place is because that really was a struggle for me, seriously, being on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I was so concerned,
yes,
about what I share, what I say, mm-hmm, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that I really wanted to be more open about my faith. And I felt very kind of constricted in this box of, like, what I should or shouldn't share and,
right,
how much, you know, bigger I could be with my faith or whatever it is that I wanted to share. I was seeing the pattern of, I'm being very concerned about what other people think. I'm going to lose followers. People will not like this. And the truth is that that's something that I don't want to be concerned with that anymore. I simply want to do what I feel I'm called to do.
Right. Me
right.
Too.
And that's a learned and practiced thing. You simply just have to baby step your way through it. And so after downloading that book, I'll be honest, I didn't finish the entire book, but I'm certainly more inspired to, like, it's on my reading list for sure now. But the scripture that really resonated and really helped me with that was Deuteronomy 31:8, which is an amazing promise from God. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed.
There you go.
Do not fear. Do not fear man. Do not fear what they think. Do not fear what they're going to say about you. Do not fear how they're going to ridicule you. Do not fear this. I am the Lord. I go before you. I mean, think about that for a second. This is the same God that built, that tore down, that commanded armies, that changed the map of our world. He is saying, Tracy, I go before you. None of those people can say anything to you that can hurt you, because I go before you. I protect your way. I am with you. And what I have asked you to do, what I've called you to do, I am with you.
As you're speaking that to me, I'm taking that so personally, Corey. Thank you. I need to hear that. We all do.
Some of us are called to do things that are so scary, so out of our comfort zone. Whether we're introverts or extroverts, we're called to do things that are so frightening because we are concerned with how other people perceive us, and are they going to hate me? Am I going to lose my friends, my family, right? And I think that this is the thing that we have to really grasp as God pleasers, that our God is telling us, I go before you. I clear the way. I protect you. I'm calling you to this. I'm not going to leave you to your own devices to protect yourself. I go before you. I am your shield. So I think that's just something that, you know, this week, next week, going forward, when you are called to be a God pleaser, here's another tool for your toolbox in that you have the assurance that God goes before you. That whether that is, you know, stepping outside that little comfort zone to talk to someone you wouldn't ordinarily talk to soothe someone who's having a horrible day, to ask to pray for them, those can be uncomfortable things. That can feel like a monumental thing to ask someone you don't know, can I pray for you? You know, you were sharing that beautiful story about going to a scrapbook event, mm-hmm. and yet you felt yourself called to, can I pray for you? I mean, that is a wonderful thing that we as Christians, we have this ability to tap into the one resource that can help someone, truly help them.
And, you know, before we started the show today, we prayed and said that just, God, let hearts be open to whatever we want to say. And I have very often prayed that when I knew God was calling me to speak to people, I will pray and say, God, I don't know who you're calling me to speak to today, but whoever it is, just let their heart be open, because all you need to do is plant a seed, and He's the one that will grow it into something. I used to think that it was up to me to mm-hmm. convince people that they needed God or make God seem attractive. And then I realized God does the work. We're just His tool that He uses just to say a little something to somebody. And yeah. He does the work.
We're just like someone, I don't know if it's in the Bible or someone said it about watering a seed. You know, you're just watering that little seed as it moves along.
Right.
It's just an opportunity to be used by God. And there is nothing in the world like that.
Right.
There's nothing in the world when someone says, you know, you did this for me. You could not have known how much that blessed me. You couldn't have known that that was answered prayer. You know, you did this. And your obedience, you know, getting to be part of somebody's answered prayer, that's a gift that's like indescribable.
And you know? Sometimes we don't even know
yeah.
when God has used us. Yeah, but true. But I believe our reward will be in heaven.
Indeed. So I would like to invite you, if you have not, we called, you know, kind of a challenge. We laid out a challenge in our last show about being a God pleaser and doing some kind of action to please God this week. That might be a little scary. I want to invite you to continue that in this week following with Deuteronomy 31:8 in your toolbox, you know, your little sword beside you that you have to remind yourself as uncomfortable as it might feel and as fearful as you might be about approaching somebody or whatever it is. Sometimes God calls us to do things that feel scary, talking to someone we don't know, doing something that they're going to think this of me. That's why we're having this conversation right now. Sometimes God tests us just to see how much do you love me? How obedient are you really? If I ask you to do this, will you do it? Tracy, is there anything else you want to add?
You know, I really feel like God wants people to know that even if you aren't approaching someone, like going up to a stranger, that one way you can be a God pleaser this week is to make an effort to not be easily offended. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, talks about love and what love is. And, you know, the Bible says if we have not love, we're just become as clanking brass and we just... really, our message means nothing if we have not love. And so it also talks about that love is not easily offended. And so I think that so often, like when we're online and we see someone say something and it offends us in some small or big way, and we just want to type back and say, blah, 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 and you know, you really need to think this, or you know, you're wrong and this is why. I think God is calling us just to let those things go. Not take it personally, not be easily offended. You know, we went to eat Mexican today and the guy couldn't take my cheese dip coupon off. Register wasn't working right. And so I was telling you, I've been going there almost 20 years, but I said, you know what? Don't worry about it. Now, I could be easily offended and not go back there or been mad and stood there for 10 minutes and argued with them. But in the grand scheme of life, it doesn't matter. It's cheese dip, you know? And so if we're called to live a God-pleasing, peaceful life, part of that is letting small offenses go. And so that came into my mind out of the blue. So I feel like in those instances, that's God. So I just wanted to mention that to maybe somebody struggling with that.
Hey, I think that is great advice and a great layer to add to the challenge, because I'm talking about things you're called to be active and go do.
Right.
But that is perfect for some of us who would be fast to jump on the keyboard or fast to get in someone's face about how they've been disrespected or whatever it is, or you know, not following the rules. You know, I'm a stickler for rules, so mm-hmm. I tend to get that whole little justice meter thing going on about, well, it's not fair.
Right.
But you're so right. That's a wonderful thing. That's a God-pleasing challenge. Sometimes when you have been wronged or you feel offended, to walk away, to bless that person,
right,
even if it's just in your mind, and move along. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So here is a tool for your toolbox this week. And, you know, if you did rise to the challenge and do something that you just feel like that was God-pleasing, that was really outside my comfort zone, this is something I did to bless someone else, we want to hear it. We actually have an email now for our listeners. We would love to hear your stories about, you know, God being your first love. And we would love to hear if you were able to rise to the challenge and bless somebody, pray for them, whatever it was you felt called to do to be a God pleaser last week, this week going forward. We would love to hear that. So our email address is hello@thefirstloveclub.com.
Hello.
Hello.
I love that.
It's like me and Tracy, hello. Of course, Tracy would be like, hi, y'all. So please email us. We would love to hear from you. And if you want to just share what you're getting out of our podcast, what you'd like to hear in our podcast, Tracy and I are always, you know, this is so new for us. We're so open to, you know, what it is. What themes would you like to hear us talk about? We pray before each episode and, you know, as we're preparing, because we just really want to be led by God in what we talk about, but we are doing this show for you. The one sitting right there, the one who just feels like overwhelmed in life, you just feel a little too far away from God, or even if you are on fire for Jesus, no matter where you are on that spectrum, we would love to hear from you and bring episodes forth that would bless you.
I hope that people will use that email and write in, because I love getting feedback about the show.
Me too.
It really makes you think, okay, we're doing the right thing. We're on the right path. This is blessing people. So please let us know. We look forward to hearing from you, and we hope you will join us again next week for another episode of the First Love Club.
Bye, everybody.